This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata bench when I realized that there was no one doing a weekly wine show in the Okanagan. None of those stellar radio stations found room or inspiration to follow the wine industry. But it sure made sense to me. It's been 15 years now. 15 years. And counting. The show is now coming to you from Mill Bay, Vancouver Island, which is just on the eastern edge of the Cowichan Wine Valley. I'm surrounded by vineyards. I'm comfortable. I'm in a barn. I'm comfortable. Well, not a barn. It used to be a barn. It's now a house. Two stories for you today. One, locally, from Stillhead Distillery in Duncan, just on the south end of Duncan. They're making whiskey. They're making single malt. Bourbon style, the B word is what they call it. Lots of choices. And our guest will be Brennan Colbank, the owner, operator, and distiller at Stillhead in Duncan. Lots of sipping. Actually, there, if you go to the website, I think there's 6 bottles there. Small sample size. I think I took a shot of them. And every one of them was a journey. It was fantastic. And right across the street was Small Block Brewing. And inside that brewery, I discovered a ramen chef on the second floor making beautiful bowls of ramen. I went, oh, yes, I'm home. Thank you. So that's the second story today. The first is Chain Reaction Winery on the Naramata Bench. Joel and Linda Chamischuk, the owners, who were going about their business sipping wine fans and having a life in the tech industry, just industry in general. But they kept being drawn back to wine. And so they decided to look on the Naramata Bench and found an orchard that they bought and turned it into a vineyard. They have 3 vintages to their name, 2019, 2020. But now they're starting to grow their own. They're starting to make their own. Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris, Gewurztraminer. A rosé. Dwight Sick has helped them along the way from Moraine Winery. It was DJ Kearney, last week's guest on the podcast. It was DJ who said, Chain Reaction. Check out Chain Reaction. All she has to say is the name of the winery and I'm off. Like a dog to a bone, I want to know why she said that, what she knows, and what I have to find out about. We start on the Naramata Bench with Joel and Linda Chamischuk at Chain Reaction Winery. Right after this, we end in Duncan at Stillhead Distillery. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a 2-year hiatus with a set price 2-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm trying to remember where I first discovered or heard about Chain Reaction Winery on the Naramata Bench. And then I realized that it was through DJ Kearney. And when DJ Kearney, wine teacher, educator, judge, saint, recommends offhand, a winery, you want to follow through on that, which I did. And we finally, it took weeks to get this all organized. In the meantime, I was COVIDing and I was moving. We finally found that they haven't moved. I moved. From Chain Reaction Winery, Joel and Linda Chamischuk. First of all, welcome. How was your 2 years?
Wow, you know what, I think it's fair to say that if there ever were a pandemic, this would have been the right time for us because we've been so heads down trying to get the winery constructed and get operations going. I've been a recluse and would have been a recluse had it not even been for COVID. So we've been really busy trying to get this together and we're only 2 weeks away from opening, so it's very exciting times for us right now.
Did it buy you some time to actually think things through and nail everything down?
I think that's fair to say. We otherwise would have been in Vancouver more often visiting friends and family and having them over. So we, even when we're starting off have to talk business, and it often does get into philosophy and making sure we're making 1,000 right decisions and maybe only one bad one along the way.
Who had to convince who to get into the wine business?
I'll let you handle that one.
Joel definitely had to convince me. So we've obviously drunk a lot of BC wine over the years, but never thought we'd be in this industry. And when we came out to Penticton many years ago, and when we kind of decided we were wanted to do something different from the tech industry in the Lower Mainland, we started looking at various opportunities out here, and we looked at some vineyards. We even looked at some wineries, and it wasn't really until we saw this property that we were like sold. It was just everything that we were looking for. But at the time, I was only committing to having a vineyard and a house with a beautiful view of the Lake Okanagan. I was definitely not sold on having a winery, so Joel definitely had to sell me on that for sure.
And what, I mean, how did he do that? What was the selling point?
A lot of begging.
Begging, and I think he plied me with a lot of wine.
No, if we go back 30 years, we've been together about that long, and part of our holidays were always to come to the Okanagan, and early on, we were camping and hitting all the wineries, the three or four that were in West Kelowna at that time, and I remember having an aha moment at Quail's Gate and thinking, is this really a job? Somebody can actually talk about wine and get passionate about it? So it's always been tucked away in the back of my mind that would be just a phenomenal thing to do, and I thought to myself, boy, I want to be that guy when I grow up, and that tucking it away for 30 years has finally materialized, but it was never something that was foremost in our minds. It was just always kind of simmering in the background.
I know for a fact, just judging from the emails and the response that we get, that there are couples out there right now listening to this conversation, and they have the same dreams that you did. So then the question is, and then we'll get on to the actual wines, that is, what you thought winemaking and running and owning and releasing wines was and what it is, were they two separate things?
A buddy of mine once said, to make $1 million in the wine industry, you need to spend $2 million. And yeah. I scoffed at that. I do believe, however, that's true if you're not hands-on, and we have been incredibly hands-on all the way. I have actually worn out 2 shovels along the way. It's a lot of digging. It's a lot of really getting your hands dirty. And if you enjoy being outdoors and want to be part of that process, it might be something to consider. No doubt it's hard work. Even in the winemaking side, it's extremely hard work. People think of it as being kind of elegant, and there are moments that can be elegant, but the majority of it is 80% lifting, 10% art, and 10% science. But there's just a lot of heavy things going on all the time, so it does take a strong back, there's no question about it, and I think a real passion to keep committing towards and wanting to strive to make an excellent product, which is really what we're trying to do here at Chain Reaction.
Okay, so Linda, it's your turn now, because we're going to talk about the wines. That's the best part of this whole routine. You know that.
Well, and I think there's 2 different paths that you can go about it. I mean, if people are thinking that their future is in the wine industry, there's the route that you can go by buying an existing winery, or you can do what we did, which was buying a property that had an orchard on it. And so we've removed the orchard, we've planted the vineyard, we've had to build the actual winery and the tasting. So we've had to do everything from scratch. So 2 completely different approaches, but we felt we wanted to create our own dream. We wanted to have the grapes that we wanted to have on this property. We didn't want to take over somebody else's dream and try and make it into ours. So that's why we decided to go this route. And it's been a lot more work, but it's also a lot more rewarding because you've made every single decision along the way. Mm-hmm. And good or bad, you have to own it. So it's been certainly an interesting process, but I think we're really happy with what we've managed to accomplish so far.
And then comes the wines, of course. From Chain Reaction Winery, Joel and Linda Chamaschuk. Chain Reaction Winery, named after, of course, their love of biking, not motorbiking.
That's one of the reasons, but there is 3 reasons.
Okay, what's the second?
So the first reason is for cycling. That's where the chain reference comes from. The second one is just there was a chain reaction events that kind of led us to the here and now, where we are at today. And lastly, the chain reaction events from transforming grapes into wine in bottle.
Let's talk about those grapes in wine in bottle. You sent me a note saying coming in spring, and we're there now, at least for I am here. You bottled the 2021 Rosé. Is it available now?
We bottled 6 different products in 2019, so taking a bit of a step back, we started this process a couple of years ago with the 2019 harvest and had our wines made at Moraine Winery through head winemaker Dwight Sick.
Dwight Sick.
Right, and in 2020 we did the same thing. So what we're selling right now are the products that we produced in 2019 and in 2020, and the 2021 release will be essentially available when we sell out of the 19 and 20, which we hope will be fairly soon because it is a rather small lot overall.
Okay, so I have in front of me the 2020 True Colors Pinot Noir Rosé.
Yes.
Which won silver at Lieutenant Governor's and bronze at Wine and Line. I love the way you made it, and I love the color, and I love the taste. So if that is your introduction, if that's the first thing that people notice and taste, that's a great handshake. It turned out well, didn't it?
It certainly did. And by the way, thanks for the compliment. Dwight is an amazing winemaker, and I couldn't be happier with all of our products. They're fantastic, and I do believe the Rosé, along with our Pinot Noir and our Pinot Gris, would be what I'll call our flagship wines, but not to take away from anything else that we have on our list.
Linda, the production was 141 cases. How many can we find out here?
There's probably a fair amount left. We still have over 100 cases because we only just started selling last fall. So, yeah, we will have availability throughout the summer for sure. And when it's finished, we will open up the 2021.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a 2-year hiatus, with a set price 2-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that the Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. He's Joel. She's Linda. They're the Chamischucks. They've been together some 30 years, and they decided a few years back to become winemakers. For those of you out there who dream about one day making wines like the Chamischucks, here's the story behind what's involved. The 2019 Tailwind Pinot Gris from Chain Reaction won the Platinum Award, the 2021 BC Lieutenant Governor Wine Awards, which is the highest honor you can get. And was it rushed out the door? Is there anything left?
That's a great question. We do have about 30 to 40 cases left. The rest has either sold or has been committed to restaurants. But yeah, I believe that when we open on April 30th, I would give it maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that will be gone. But I also think our 2020 Pinot Gris is equally as good, if not better, according to some people. So, I think both are great wines.
Who wants to tell me about the Blanc de Noir?
I can talk about the Blanc de Noir.
Okay.
The Blanc de Noir, really, because we have so much Pinot Noir available to us, we planted the majority of our property with Pinot Noir, and we are leasing a vineyard down the street, which is about 90% Pinot Noir. So we do view ourselves largely as a Pinot producer. And we have four different products that we make from Pinot Noir. And one that we're just experimenting with, I shouldn't call it that, that's not really being fair, but making available this spring is a white wine, a Blanc de Noir. It's not a sparkling wine, it's a table wine that has just an ever slight bit of color to it, but it is as white a wine as you can get, and it's tasting spectacular. It has a tiny bit of oak on it. I believe we oaked it for about 8 days, just to give it a bit of mid-palate, and we wanted to make sure it wasn't competing with our Chardonnay, which is more heavily oaked, or our Pinot Gris, which is just a crisp, refreshing white wine done all in stainless steel, so it kind of fits in the middle between those two products.
From Chain Reaction Winery, Joel and Linda Chamaschuk. Linda, the 2020 Pendulum Pinot Noir, again, I asked the question, is there anything left? I don't want to, if I send people out looking for it and they can't find it, I hear about it.
Yes, we made almost 200 cases of our 2020 Pinot Noir, so we've only just been selling it since last fall. So yes, we have plenty of product available for people to come out and purchase online.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And you
Thank
will
you
be a Pinot it. House. Well done. And a good call on Dwight Sick there.
Thank
you. The 2021 will be out, what, late fall?
The Pinot Noir, sorry?
Yeah.
Yes. We plan on bottling that one sometime in late August. I would anticipate it being available in October, give or take a few weeks.
Did you change your oak program? I loved it. 100% oak barrels, 15% new?
Yes. The 2021 will be a little bit different. It's a slightly smaller lot. It will be predominantly second fill barrels, and the third one will be second fill barrels and a third one that is a third fill barrel. So it should have roughly the same oak profile done in a slightly different way.
Linda, did you like the Chardonnay, the way the Chardonnay turned out?
We did. We actually had it a couple of weeks ago, and it had been a while since we had it, and it's just a really nice, light, crisp, more of a Chablis style. And I think we had paired it with a chicken dish that night, and we were just exclaiming about how nice we felt that it was. So we harvested our first Chardonnay last fall from our vineyard, and I don't think we even got enough for a barrel. It was just a very small harvest because the plants are still young, and we were trying not to overstress them.
It's true.
So it was just a limited lot. And we will be producing the Chardonnay. We still have it in barrel right now, but we won't be bottling it, I think, until the spring. So it's just going to be a small lot and likely exclusive only to the wine club.
And when will we see first sightings and tastings of the 2021 traditional method Pinot Noir Rosé sparkling?
I would say about a year from now. We want to give it at least a year of Lee's contact, and we'll monitor it along the way. We don't think it's going to be a heavy champagne, like heavy Lee's influenced product, which is why we're thinking 12 months on Lee's. It'll be a nice combination of that, along with still retaining some of that really nice fresh fruit that you would expect from something that has only been bottled recently. So I'm hoping we have it available when we open our doors next year at this time.
Who was it who influenced the Cab Franc as that last wine we can talk? Was it Dwight or was it you guys?
That's 100% Dwight. It has to be. He makes all the calls.
Well, it's just, listen, the Okanagan loves Cab Franc, and Naramata Bench in particular completely loves it. Where'd you get your fruit?
The majority of the Cab Franc was purchased from grapes that were grown in Soyuz, and we have Cab Franc here as well, but generated, I believe it was maybe 175 kilograms, not much. So I'm really hoping this year we can actually have a barrel of it that's 100% from our estate, and it's looking like that will be the case, and gradually we'll just move towards a model where the majority of the fruit's grown on site and not relying on other growers.
Linda, how does one join the wine club?
That's something that we're in the process of defining what the wine club is going to look like. So you'll have to follow us either on social media or check out our website. And when we have that announced, we will certainly release that to our email list at first, and then we'll be doing some promotions on that.
And what is that website, Linda?
The website is chainreactionwine.com.
From Chain Reaction Winery, Joel and Linda Chamaschuk.
Ukrainian name.
Yes.
Chamaschuk. Do you have friends still in Ukraine?
No, I don't. It's interesting you ask that question. I've become more in tune with my heritage through what's happening there. And I believe for a long time that the majority of my family came from Russia, but was actually outside of Kyiv for both my mom's side and my father's side, as well as Romania. And I have blood there for sure. I don't know anything about them, but I obviously wish them well and hope they're okay.
I don't know if you see any sign of it up there, but on Vancouver Island in the Cowichan, actually, Blue Grouse is donating $1 from each bottle to go to Ukrainian relief. And that's how the wine industry can help.
That's a great idea.
It's a good thing. If you can kick it in motion on that Naramata bench, maybe we'll see if we can sweep at the valley. All right. Tell them exactly where you are so they can come and find you. By the way, is the tasting room built and open?
So the tasting room, we are targeting to open on April 30th. And we are right on Naramata Road. If you know the little cluster of wineries, just when you kind of start out on the bench, there's Red Rooster and
La Friends
and Little Engine. Yep. We're literally just after that.
Okay. On that first, past the S-curve.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Because first of all, you have to navigate the S-curve.
And then slow down right after you get past it. That's where we are.
Are you on the left or the right going out?
We're on the right, so on the kind of top side of the road.
Oh, you're above the lake, where the lake was. Yes.
Yeah, okay. We're actually just the next property after Maple Leaf Spirits.
Thank you for joining me here on Tasting Room Radio. This show started on the Naramata Bench and always has a solid spot in our heart for Naramata growers and winemakers and people who commit to it. Congratulations on that commitment and the resulting wines. Beautifully done, beautifully tasted. Highly recommended. And DJ was right.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Means a lot to us.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Joel and Linda Chamischuk.
Yes. You got it. Hey.
Chain Reaction Winery, Little Victories on the Naramata Bench. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne-Marsan. Mooncursor, the 2019 best-performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. You can find the details for this show at mulliganstew.ca, which is where the radio show is. It's also where the podcast is. But this time we're talking distilled spirits with Brendan Colbank, who is the owner, operator, and distiller at Stillhead Distillery. When I first saw the sign, I immediately thought, because I'm a fisherman, I thought Steelhead. Tell me about the name, first of all.
Yeah, so it was going to be called Steelhead, but there was an unpopular LNG project in Saanich Inlet, so we didn't want to call it Steelhead. And the interesting story is our still is from Germany, and there they would pronounce it steel anyway. So we take Steelhead or Stillhead, but it's a play on distilling and steelhead as well.
I just did a conversation with a couple up in the Okanagan who were in the tech business, and they were wine fans, and then they decided to become, let's go to the Naramata Bench and buy that property and then take that orchard out and put in some vines, and now they're in the wine business. How did you get into this?
So a similar story. I was also in the tech business for about 15 years and managed a very large team. Commuting, traveling a lot, had enough of it, had a passion for whiskey. It's something that I loved and dabbled in making it. So kind of just went headfirst into it. And
dabbled?
Yeah, you know, when I lived in New Zealand where home distilling is legal, I dabbled in it there. So unfortunately, unlike making wine or beer, you can't legally dabble in it in Canada. You can't distill at home. So you have to wait till you have a license and then start playing.
Do you know how many people dabble at home in Canada?
Probably lots. Yeah.
Lots.
Lots, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Now, when did you open this this establishment?
We opened our doors September 2017, so coming up on our fifth anniversary.
What was happening in 2017 around, because, you know, Vancouver Island has just gone crazy in terms of distilling and brewing and everything, cideries. What was going on then?
So there was, I think the gin craze was just kind of getting going. We have Ampersand Distilling here locally. They make a fantastic gin, and they'd been in operation for 2 or 3 years. Sheringham Distillery as well had opened recently. So there was a lot of excitement around craft gins, and the rules for distillery license in BC had changed in 2013 to allow small distilleries to be financially viable, for lack of a short explanation. So that was kind of what was going on. We have Shelter Point up in Black Creek, up by Courtney and Divine, and others were making some single malt whiskey, but there wasn't a lot of whiskey production, certainly nothing, not a lot out.
What was driving it? Was there a certain age group that was driving this?
I'm not sure. Now, I think just people had a bad experience with large commercial brands of gin, some of the older demographic. And then younger people maybe have had wine or they're into beer and they didn't realize how many different styles there is for gin. So I'm not sure what started the gin renaissance, but it's been hot ever all over the world, really, and it's still going crazy.
So when I walked in, you were doing tasting of gin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It's one of those, of all the spirits besides whiskey, it's the one that you can take the most creative liberties with, because by definition, it just needs to have juniper in it and the rest is up to you. So there's a lot of creative things that you can do with gin, and you're not going to be a same profile as somebody else.
But for those of us who know nothing about mixology, there's nothing easier than gin and tonic. You just go, okay, get the good gin, get the good tonic water. But now I'm seeing people starting to mess with even that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The gin styles have, you used to really have, two major styles. You had London Dry style is like all the big brands we think of. And then Old Tom Gin, which is a sweetened gin. You had Plymouth as well, which is, that's specific to England.
And the Japanese would bring a different take entirely.
Yeah, and Japanese gin has kind of come around the time that we did. So same thing they're seeing. They're famous for making whiskey, of course, but some of the bigger brands have hopped on to the gin scene as well. And bringing, you're right, they bring their own sense of provenance with their Japanese botanicals.
Okay, I've got your sample. Your sample pack here. I've been sipping on, watching Canucks games, but when I look at the list that was supplied, I'm looking at what you're making. A plain gin is the last thing I don't even see it on the list. What's happened to the business?
Yeah, I think with as a craft distillery, what are we doing that's different? And it's very difficult to differentiate yourself in the vodka category, and in the London Dry category, it's difficult to differentiate. And definitely the selection has increased since we opened in 2017. So we don't focus on it as much because it's not as unique as our whiskeys, or as far as gin goes, our wild blackberry gin, which is not really made anywhere else in the world other than here. So we focus on the wild blackberry products and the whiskey products. And yeah, we have London Dry Gin as well, and it's fantastic. But that's usually the two categories I spend more time talking about.
I'm talking to Brendan Colbank, who is the owner, operator, and distiller of Stillhead Distillery, Island Crafted Spirits in Duncan. We're in a combination office and storeroom, which is what the best distillers work in. Of these six, do you know what's in my my box?
I'm not sure what Megan sent you, so...
I have this beautiful little box I took a picture of. So I'm going to take them out one at a time, and we're going to talk about them, okay?
Yeah.
You ready? It's not a skill testing question, but
This
is the small cask rye. Is it 52%?
Yeah, that one is 52%. So that would be the cask strength version of it. We won a gold medal for that at the Canadian Artisan Spirit Competition this just last February. That was our first rye whiskey release in December 2020.
So that's actually one of your old guys that's been around for a while.
Yeah, we didn't, and it's funny because I love all whiskeys, and I probably spend more time drinking single malts than I do rye, but then we noticed that there's a lot of, there's something missing in the rye category, and we're, our equipment and our manufacturing process is set up where we can specialize in rye whiskey. So when I first started making whiskey, I made a whole bunch of different types, and I released the single malt and the rye for a first release, same price, and the rye sold out quicker than the single malt. So then, and people started following us for the rye. So that's what we've spent the majority of our time focusing on for about the last 3 years now.
I'm talking to Brendan Colbank, who is the owner, operator, and distiller of Stillhead Distillery in Duncan. This is a two-part question. Do you introduce new spirits to the market because the market tells you that that's what they're looking for? And B, do you look at what everybody else is making and say, no, okay, they're making that. We're going there. Tell me about that thought process.
Well, luckily with rye whiskey, it was both. It's the old saying in business is find out what people want and sell it to them. And I need to sell spirits to keep the lights on and keep my barrel buying habit.
But will you let me know when I hit one that you're going to make no matter what anybody thinks?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that there's any light.
Well, we'll see. Let's take a look. This is the B word, 46%.
Yeah, so that's a bourbon. I'm doing it in air quotes because we're not in America and we can't call it bourbon, but it's Canadian corn, Canadian rye, new American oak charred barrels. That was our first major, not like a first batch release where we had more than one cask of whiskey. 1,100 bottles released in October and sold out. So it's coming out in again in October. But it's funny you ask, this is one that I'll keep making, but I don't want to make necessarily because people want it.
Okay. Let me try this one. I'm just pulling them out one at a time here. Single cask, single malt, 56%.
Oh, so that's the secret whiskey. We want to reward our club members with further support with the opportunity to buy a club exclusive whiskey. And we did this last year where we take one cask that we think is truly special, release it at natural cask strength, no water added, and sell it club to the email subscribers and word of mouth only. So last year it was called Sneaky Pete, mm-hmm. and it was a Laphroaig quarter cask finished rye whiskey. This year is a single malt that was aged in a cask that we lent to Small Block Brewery across the parking lot, and they had conditioned it with a stout. And we had a block party about 4 years ago where we're serving it, carbonated the barrel, and then we were serving it right out of the barrel. Spirit went back in, forgot about it, and we just spent about 2 weeks tasting all of our casks, which was actually a lot of work, and this one stood out from them all. So we released it cask strength and sent it to our email subscribers, and we won't tell anyone about it, except, of course, on this radio show.
Okay. Very interesting. And that's new. That's a new guy.
Yeah, we just released this 2 weeks ago.
Brendan Colbank, who is the owner, operator, and distiller of Stillhead Distillery in Duncan. I dug the hell out of this. Smoking wheat, 46%.
Yeah, so I'm a very big fan of Islay-style whiskeys. Yeah. And one of my favorites is Ardbeg. I like the peat characteristic. I love their branding. I love everything they do. So I had the opportunity to buy old Ardbeg barrels. And the cool thing about smoky whiskeys is the older they get, the less smoky the spirit gets because the cask has absorbed that beautiful peat smoke. So what I did was then take a wheat whiskey we had sitting in an ex-bourbon barrel and I finished it, so for transferred it to the Ardbeg barrel, and we released it as Smoke and Wheat. So wheat whiskies are very mild and sweet, vanilla, right? Like just very approachable, nothing too special about them. So then when you add the smoke, you kind of have this sweet and smoky, and it's sold out. Yeah.
I can remember asking somebody, I was on a forest walk, and I said, do we have peat here? Have we got peat? And they said, yeah, there's peat here on the island. Do we have peat on the island? And can you access it? And do you want to access it?
Yeah. So a good question. Yes, we do have peat on the island. Yes, I have access to it. And yes, I have certain, it's in the lab or the experiments. The peat here is, or the peat I have access to, is a lot of decomposed woody materials. Okay. So it's completely different than peat on Isla, which is a lot more grass.
But difference okay if it works.
To be determined. Okay. Yeah, ask me next year, I'll know for sure.
I knew this was going to be a two-parter. I got three samples out, and all of a sudden I realized there's another three to go. Brendan Colbank is the owner-operator and distiller of Steelhead Distillery in Duncan. We'll be right back with part two. And we're going to go through the new stuff, including maple rye. We're going to go through rye tilla, the Hun. Yeah, we're going to go through smoking wheat. Stay there. Stay right there. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussan Marsan. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. Brendan Colbeck, Steelhead Distillery. Steelhead Rytilla the Hun, 46%, and I think Rytilla the Hun is sort of new. I'm going to put it over in the new camp.
Yes, that came out in Christmas. My equipment and my mentor has a distillery plant in Hungary, and Hungarian oak barrels are similar to French oak, but different in that they're colder climate and different soil. So long story short, they're usually used in wine. He had them custom toasted and charred for spirits. And when I got my equipment, I just got a few barrels put in the container and total experimental casks. And we put rye whiskey in it, which is kind of spice on a spicy cask, but it worked. And then we thought we'd make the funny name.
Check this out. Those of you who listen regularly about the wines, check out the nose. Dried fig, chalk, powdered ginger, new cowhide, pralines, Irish butter, almond oil, black currants. On the palate, on the Rytilla the Hun, buttery Hershey milk chocolate, roasted wheat, nectarines, clover, resin, toasted pine nuts, and that's it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I always get, like, the first thing that hits me is, like, Valentine's Day, opening a bag of those little hard cinnamon heart candies. I get a big cinnamon heart note from it, and it just works really well with the rye bready notes from the spirit. So this is one we'll do again for sure.
All right, let's find out what the thing is. My favorite. Maple rye, 46%. It's, I think, hold on a second. Let me, hold on a second, 2 seconds. Maple rye whiskey is new. It goes in the new category.
Yes, I think it's, there it is on number 7. So this one has a bit of a story. We were getting these small barrels from a distillery in Seattle, which was, they were aging rye whiskey in 30-liter casks and then aging maple syrup in it and then getting rid of the barrels. So we took and filled those barrels with spirit, aged for 3 years. The evaporation was crazy. And released like 60 bottles, and they're gone. And what I've done is I have a friend with a sugar operation, maple sugar operation in Quebec. So I've sent my, when I get the barrels, I've sent them to him first to fill with maple syrup. Nice. So then we can finish it. And very Canadiana, we got the spicy rye with the sweet sweetness and minerality of the maple syrup. For me, this is, I call this one a breakfast whiskey. And it's been a hit. Nobody, I haven't, there's a couple of distilleries doing some maple syrup stuff back east, but big demand for that one.
Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but you are on the eastern edge of the Cowichan Wine Valley. And there are 13 or 14 wineries there who have barrels who are using them. Can you see yourself accessing those on a regular basis?
So I already have, and they're aging. So I have some barrels from Cherry Point. One of the whiskeys that didn't make it on this list that's completely sold out was a Blackberry, quote, port cask from Cherry Point Wines. And we won a silver medal for that. I've already reserved 20 barrels from another winery. And the funny thing is that 3 years ago, on a tight startup distillery budget, didn't have a lot of money to import barrels from new American oak barrels or ex-bourbon, and I did some primary aging of rye whiskeys in wine casks, and so far the results have been way over exceeded my expectations. So
what works better, white or red?
I don't know. There's not a lot of white barrel aging on Vancouver Island, so I've only used red barrels. So I'll have to stick with red for now, but I definitely want to get some, if there are white wine barrels in BC, I definitely like to try those too.
They're listening now.
But yeah, so I have to I just have to find the time to go buy them and fill them.
Brendan Colbeck is the owner, operator, and distiller of Steelhead Distillery in Duncan. Speaking of silvers and awards, the spirits competition or the spirits gathering was in Vancouver last week. How'd it go?
It was great. It's been on a hiatus during the pandemic, so we hadn't been back since for 3 years. So last time I was there, I didn't have whiskey. This time I was there, I would have almost brought all whiskeys, but I needed to bring blackberry gin. And we have a new product coming out, which I'll tell you about. It's a rye spirit unaged with blackberry and sugar we're calling Rye Shine. So it's spicy and sweet. And we won audience favorite for that one in the white spirit category, which is the moonshine type category. So that's coming out at the end of May.
Okay. Brendan Colbeck is the owner, operator, and distiller of Steelhead Distillery in Duncan. Here's the thing, I'll let you go. When the Cider Festival happened in Vancouver, North Vancouver, foot of Lonsdale, in the pipe shop, there were some 25 cideries. And then the next year there were 30, and then there were 35 and going. But they had like 16, the portfolio was an entire table filled with, right? And I said, just pour me the original cider that you made that started this all. The one with no flavor, no other stuff, just the cider. What was the original distilled spirit that you made that's still in the portfolio?
They're all still in it, but I'm in this for, I love gin, but I love whiskey more. So our rye whiskey is the one that I've been making since September 2017 was the first barrel. So, and that's been, we focused on rye and that's still in our portfolio. And now we wish we had made more.
Big picture, last question, big picture. You know how much we revere of Scottish and Irish whiskeys. How long will it take, say, Vancouver Island to get to that point? A lifetime?
No, I think we're on the cusp. We're really coming into our own for our own region of distilling. I would say the best selling gins in Canada come from here, and it's only a matter of time for the whiskey. We're just going to keep doing what we do with rye, and we want to make rye whiskey cool again. And so people don't think it needs to taste like their dad or their grandpa's rye and coke kind of thing. We're applying the real interesting terroir and also the special cast to it. No chill filtration, no color added, cask strengths, and there's a big demand for that.
All right, we're talking in April. Any surprises this year? Anything that's just going to blow us away?
I think the wine cask that's going to come out in December, the rye, I haven't found anyone in the world who's done it. Those were fantastic casks, and like you say, those came from Cherry Point, so they were wet, and then the next day filled. those casts have exceeded my expectations, and I think they're going to blow people away.
Is there a spirits club?
Yeah, so if you just go on our website, we don't spam. You just put your email address in. There's no charge to be on our email list, and our subscribers are always the first to find out.
What's the website?
Stillhead.ca.
Stillhead, S-T-I-L-L, Head Distillery. Just on the right end of Duncan and Vancouver Island.
I always say you don't even have to go through the stoplights. We get a lot of visitors from Victoria area. Yeah. It's 40 minutes now that the Malahat's fixed up.
Where's the food program?
Oh, we don't have, so we're in the expanded space. So we currently have a lounge endorsement application in with the LCRB. But we will very much, when we're serving full drinks here, we will rely on Ramen Academy across the parking lot. Okay. Yeah. So we'll have ramen here once we have full drink menu here.
Good on you.
Yeah, I love ramen. We talked
about it. No kidding. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Brendan Colbank, who is the owner, operator, and distiller in Duncan of Stillhead Distillery. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com.